The Morning Drive Show on Impact 103.
We are in week two of the Adoption is an Option campaign. And with me this morning and in studio is Katinka Petersa, Director at ABBA Specialists Adoption and Social Services. Katinka, thank you so much for your time.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Blessed to be here on this very chilly morning.
Very chilly. Yeah. Indeed. Let's talk about Let's start from the beginning, Katinka. How long have you been at ABBA, and what is it about ABBA that is so special to you?
I always joke and I say, when people ask me how long, that I've stopped counting because it feels like forever. But I'm a qualified social worker and I've got a history in working in child protection. And I've always been very much interested in children's rights and needs and how children are affected by adversity and challenges and difficulties. And I think I have a big heart for the importance of family. And I have to be honest, I don't think I chose social work or ABBA. It chose me. And I ended up working at ABBA, and I've been there for 25 years plus. And I think it's the whole aspect of really focusing on the importance of family for children. I believe that the family is the immediate environment. It doesn't matter what happened almost beyond that. And if you've got a stable and secure family environment, it makes a huge impact and difference in a child's life. So I think that's for me the background.
It's so good to hear that you believe that you were called into this. It's not a job for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're called into something. It's more than a job. It's bigger. And you understand the weight of the responsibility.
Yes, absolutely. I think especially in adoption, you know, adoption has got permanent implications, both legally and also just in terms of life and for generations to come. And I think that we take such a big responsibility in this decision-making process. We're often making very permanent decisions on behalf of children that don't really have a voice at that stage. So I think it's important to be mindful of both the responsibility in terms of your profession, but also for me as a child of God in terms of the long-term implications of our decisions.
Katinka, let's look at the reality of children when it comes to adoption. And I'm sure you have a few stats you can share with us on that reality.
I think it's first of all important to emphasize that we have really high numbers of children that find themselves in very difficult situations and who are potentially in need of care protection and in need of permanent alternative family care. That does not mean that all of those children are adoptable. We sometimes have the perception that all children that are orphaned or that are without permanent family care should benefit from adoption. Adoption is a legally prescribed process, and there's a very specific definition of which children can benefit from adoption. So despite the high numbers of orphans and abandonment, there's a very technical legal process that we follow to see. So if I can explain it like this and contextualize it just a little bit, that at any given time in South Africa, based on a national register that we keep of children that are legally adoptable, we have approximately 600 children at a given time that are in need of being matched with a fit and proper and screened prospective adoptive parent. So that's the reality. So we're one of the few countries, I believe, that almost have a disconnect where we have more children that are in need of adoption than we necessarily have adoptive parents. And that's why we often raising awareness and also looking at recruitment of adoptive parents for the children on our records.
Before that can even begin, there is a woman that is pregnant, and whatever circumstance she might find herself in, there's absolutely no judgment in that circumstance. She just finds herself in a situation where she realizes that raising her child is not going to be the best for that child.
Yeah.
What do you have to say to that lady that might be listening in? And she's finding herself in this situation. And now she's realized there is an option for life for her child.
Yeah, this is a hard one. I think this is where adoption is born from. I think it's very important for the listeners out there to understand and realize that I don't think any woman desires or dreams to avail a child for adoption. I don't think that's part of the dream. I think it's unfortunately often a result of an unplanned crisis pregnancy or unintended pregnancy. What we've seen often is that a lot of these women find themselves unsupported, isolated. They often have been victim of abuse, gender-based violence, rape, a lack of support. Often the birth father or the alleged birth father, unfortunately, is not involved or supporting. So it's a very specific profile. It's not just people that are selfish and don't want to parent. You know, that's not the profile. And I believe it's one of the most difficult decisions to make. When we look at an unplanned crisis pregnancy, we first present the different options that they have. So we counsel them with regards to the possibility of parenting, looking at support. It's always best if you can assist somebody to raise a child themselves. Adoption is an alternative. We go through kinship care, we go through foster care, we talk about all the different options. One of the options are adoption, which has got permanent legal implications. And that is something that we present if that is something that a young girl or woman desire. South Africa have very high numbers of teenage pregnancies. We have a lot of young girls that find themselves in, being pregnant at the age of 14 upwards. So that is quite sad, and we have a lot of challenges around that. Adoption is not the solution for that, but it's one of the options that have benefited thousands of children in our country who would have not been finding a forever family outside adoption.
If there is somebody listening in and they thinking that they might actually fit the forever family profile, how does that work in terms of process and qualification?
Okay. I think, again, I just want to go back and say that it is something that needs to be really also born or given birth to in your own heart. It's adoption. Adoption is something that can be very beautiful, but it's very difficult, and I always talk about beauty from ashes. That's almost, for me, the way I see it. So it's a very important decision that you have to make, and it's not just you, it's your partner, your husband, your family that supports you. So I think it begins with your own motivation and decision-making and support that you have around that. I think, secondly, it's important to mention that adoption is a legally prescribed process on the one hand. So there are very specific steps that need to be followed. Only certain organizations or social workers can screen adoptive parents and render adoption services. You can't go to anybody. It's quite an onerous process. It's quite... It's almost intrusive, I would say. You know, you have a very intense, deep emotional journey that you go through with your social worker. But in essence, you are screened, and then you are prepared and equipped to be able to be viewed as fit and proper to adopt. Again, in the end, I think the law is very open. We also look holistically. I don't think it takes high living standards and being rich and all, you know, the perception that people often have to make a good adoptive parent. It's absolutely more about the fact that you need to want to love a child unconditionally. You want to provide a family or have a family or be a family, and that you're open to learn and be stretched, and that you would be willing to commit unconditionally. It doesn't matter what challenges or parenting difficulties come with the situation.
Kitsenka, you mentioned a husband and a wife situation. What if there is a male out there, he can afford to have children, he hasn't found his wife yet, or maybe for whatever circumstances it is, he just is not married at the moment, but he can afford to adopt. And the woman that's out there that also would love to have children, but not in a position where they find themselves married, but they can afford to have a child, and I'm sure that all goes down to the criteria that they have to meet. Are they disqualified from this?
Absolutely not. Our law is actually quite enabling. So it's very open. Single applicants are allowed to apply. The emphasis is actually on the holistic screening that takes place. If you are over the age of 18, you can actually qualify to apply to adopt. It's then the responsibility of the organization or the social worker to collaborate with you and just assess to what extent you will be willing and able to undertake parental responsibilities and rights and be a fit and proper parent, which is something that we have to recommend to court eventually. When we are screening single applicants, obviously we focus a lot and put a lot of emphasis on support of significant others. Obviously, we love creating families. And a lot of the birth mothers that actually voluntarily relinquish their children through adoption consent would opt to rather have a mother and father to adopt. But it's absolutely legally possible, and we facilitate many of those adoptions annually.
I'm sure you have come across thousands of people, thousands of couples that want to adopt, and maybe you've overheard discussions where there's some fears in adopting from one of the, be it the husband or the wife. What are those fears, and what is true and not true?
Yes, that's important. We actually discuss that as one of the things in our preparation or education parent groups that we do with adoptive parents. We talk about fears and expectations. But often people have this idea that they have to meet a specific standard, whether it's materially or, you know, the level that they're functioning economically, first of all, to qualify. They also have this perception that adoptions are very expensive. And they also have a perception that you know, adoptions disrupt, there's a high percentage, and that, you know, children that are adopted are quite problematic. I will often hear people say that I know people that have adopted and that child is very difficult now and he's 15 years old, and I'm thinking my daughter was very difficult when she was 15 years old and I didn't adopt her, but, you know, there's that perception. So it's very important that we break down the myths and unpack the issues around nature versus nurture, because I think based on the research that are available, generally adoptions are quite successful and generally children do adopt. I'm not saying there are not hard and difficult cases. There are. There are cases that have gone very wrong. But generally, it's quite positive for children if the parents are approaching it right and equipping them and allowing them to embrace both their biology and biography.
Katsinka, sometimes you find that there are couples that have kids already and they want to adopt more. I'm sure you encourage that as well.
Absolutely. Again, it's about creating families. And I think for an adopted child who already, I think, have experienced a lot of losses that they've had no control over. So they lose birth parents, they lose extended family, they probably lose siblings, blood-related siblings. If they are adopted into a family setting where there's new siblings, that's wonderful. I love the screening process and equipping of adoptive parents who have children. And we often, depending on the age, but we often involve the children as well in the process, and also eventually with the matching, we take that into consideration and the placement of the child in itself.
If there are two children, they brother and sister or siblings, like you mentioned, do you try and keep them together?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's one of the key ethical principles where we talk about good practice. For an adoptee or a child that has been adopted, it's crucial to have a link to their origin. And if there's a sibling and both of them are legally adoptable, we will aim to place them together. Sometimes it happens that you have siblings where there's a huge age gap, and that the older group of siblings maybe have integrated somewhere else in foster care and that child cannot be adopted into that family. So there are circumstances, but generally we try and place siblings together.
Katsinka, before I let you go, I want to ask you, you've been in this industry for over 2 decades now. Is there a stand-up story? I'm sure you actually have many stories that really have stood out for you and have been a testimony for you that you'd like to share with us this morning.
Oh, special. I've been blessed a few weeks ago. It's not actually something that I did, but it's something that happened through Abba and us being instruments in God's hands. When we place a child for adoption, part of what we give children is a Bible. Every child that are adopted, we give a Bible with scripture and a little message in front of the Bible. And the other day we received a message via somebody that were involved in the care of the child before the adoption, sharing with us that the adoptive parents have shared that this child is now 15 years old and he has given his heart to Jesus. And they shared a photo of his Bible, of that scripture and that message in front. And that's just a testimony in terms of how also by providing family that, you know, children experience the love of Abba Father, but also the possibility and the potential we have to have impact, to impact children on the longer term in the process of adoption as well. So that for me has been a massive testimony. It was just, I read that and I felt wow, because adoptions are often difficult and there's a lot of challenges. And I just felt that that is such a confirmation of how God can use something like adoption.
Katsinka Peterson, Director at ABBA Specialist Adoption and Social Services. Really appreciate your time to be in studio here at Impact 103 on the Morning Drive as we continue to talk about the Adoption is an Option campaign.
Impact 103 Morning Drive.